This is episode 224 on September 21st, 2017.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and other things. I'm Joseph Ferreira.
And I'm Dave Podner.
Welcome back, Dave. How are you doing, man?
Doing good, Joe. How you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm a little tired. It's almost the end of the week, and you know, gonna try to enjoy the weekend. But it's been a fast week since the last show, and I have to say that fast weeks are a little disconcerting.
Okay.
It's just like, wait, where did the time go? But
especially it's like. Like you said, it's almost like, but it depends on what your work schedule is. But in one way, it's like, oh, yay, the weekend. But it's like, what did I do this past week?
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes having photographs helps you to remember.
Exactly.
What have you been up to lately?
Well, besides actually taking a huge chance and updating iPhones and iPads.
Yes.
We had a couple events. We had a graduation party over the weekend that we went to for a friend's, nice. Friend's son. Luckily, lucked out with the weather. It was an outdoor event, so it's always one of those things you have to be careful for. You're never quite sure what you're going to get. But it turned out really well and a real fun event to go to.
Very cool. Yeah, I was able to... kind of play around taking some shots. My father-in-law had bought an adapter for the iPhone to be able to look through a telescope or set of binoculars. Mm-hmm. And so he said, hey, why don't you go ahead and play with it? And I'm like, okay. And he said, do you want to take some binoculars with you? I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And while we were at their house for dinner, a couple of my kids, my two middle children were playing on the deck. And so I was like, you know, I'm going to try and get some pictures of them through the binoculars. And I was able to capture some good images. I was actually surprised on the depth of field that I was able to get through the binoculars. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting there hand holding it, trying to get a picture, trying to get them to look at me and smile without it looking cheesy or fake. And right. And at the same time fighting the shake of the binoculars, because with the focal length of the binoculars in the iPhone, I was getting a lot of like shakiness, and so trying to battle that. And I mean, I wasn't even moving that much whenever I take a shot with my iPhone. You know, I have basically zero shake, but when you start to add focal length and something that is not permanently attached to your phone, you start to introduce a lot of motion. And so I was able to get a few shots. And one thing that always bugs me about the iPhone is the digital image stabilization that they use. Mm. It's I've never liked it. It gives it that painted look.
Okay, yeah.
And I'd rather have noise. I'd rather have motion than the painted look. So I had to go through the photos and kind of clean them up. And so I, after playing around a little bit, I, you know, finally got a shot that I really, really liked. I took it into the Photoshop Express app and used the It was like a motion correction, I guess, slider that I can go through, and it cleans it up, makes it a little bit smoother so it doesn't look as painted, and then I was able to post it. But I love the depth of field I was able to get, and the ease. So I was actually on Amazon looking at a very small spotting scopes that were you know, that were sort of like half of a binocular. And you know, that way, not only would it be like half of what I was using, because let's be honest, I can't use both lenses at the same time. They actually have a tripod mount on these spotting scopes, so it'd be an extra layer of stability.
Right. Plus, it would be. The weight balance would be centralized versus trying not only to hold it steady, but trying to make sure the one half didn't flop over.
Right. And to be honest, I don't think it was set up for that, mainly because the people making the spotting scopes aren't saying, oh yeah, they're going to place an iPhone or some other camera on the end. So being that they're small and light, it may not be that big of a deal. It's not like taking a 70 to 200 Canon lens and putting a Canon 5D Mark III on the end and knowing that you have some sort of a balance to the rig. These are lighter devices.
Mm-hmm.
But so I'm going to play with it more. I'm going to probably do more daylight, middle of the day type stuff and see how it does. See, and use some other apps. I'm trying to use Pure with it. And, you know, Pure doesn't use the image stabilization, the digital image stabilization, say that the native app uses. So I'm hoping that I can, you know, get some high quality images the way I want them without the effects of what Apple wants.
Right.
So
that'll be a nicer thing. Yeah. What was it? Because I've never tried using an adapter on either the binoculars or the spotting scope. Was it that hard to hook up, or did you ever get that much?
So I've only done it on the binoculars, and the thing about binoculars is that they have sort of a rubber a tip or something like that where you can put your eyes up to, so that your eyeballs aren't up against the glass and it's not uncomfortable. They, you know, they try to make it comfortable. So for the majority of the time, you're almost clipping to that, which isn't very stable. And you know, I did take them off to see if I could get closer, but that didn't work. And so I think I'm hoping that the spotting scope is going to be different and would be a little bit easier to use.
Okay.
But
yeah, I saw your post with the rig and the binocular shown there.
Yep.
And the ones you did off from in the Facebook group.
Yes. So I posted it in Facebook and then on my Instagram. And so now I'm going to try Saturday to, you know, just kind of go out and get some stuff. I think I'm going to have my oldest with me in the afternoon, so I'll try to get some headshots of her and seeing what kind of a depth of field I can manage. And as far as I could tell, what I was getting on Sunday was, I thought, very, very good.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a really nice shot there. Like you said, for the depth, especially for the depth effect you're getting there. And yeah. I would not have guessed you took that shot through binoculars.
I know it's when I took it and I sent it to the family, and my wife was like thrilled. She goes, oh, that is awesome. And, you know, I say, yeah, I use binoculars, and, you know, it's not a big deal for her, but you know, for nerds like us, we're like, oh yeah, really? You got it through the binocular? That is great. But like I said, I had to do a little bit of cleaning up, and you know, if for the most part, the vignetting and the depth of field were done, but by the binoculars. And that's one of the other things is I have to zoom in digitally to get to get away from the vignetting and the curved edges. So
okay,
that, you know, that may hopefully be different if I get a spotting scope, but I'm assuming that it's probably going to be about the same. So, cool. All right. Let's go ahead and move into our focus point. Here we go.
Okay.
Focus point.
All right. So last week we talked about the announcement that Apple had made about the iPhone 8, the 8 Plus, and the 10. And I have to say, I had a great time having Matt and having Greg on. They were, you know, it was great to have them with their perspectives. But also, it's good to have a little mix every once in a while. So everybody's not just listening to me and Dave. So I wanted to say thanks to Matt and Greg for what they did. And it was a fun time. And Mark would have been here, except they had to put his dog down. And so we want to collectively give Mark a hug, knowing that, you know, what he's going through right now with his dog. It's, you know, that's the downside of having a pet is sometimes you have to say goodbye. So we're thinking of you, Mark, and we'll get you on the show soon.
Oh yeah, most definitely. I mean, that is one of the toughest things you can do.
Yeah. So now we are going to talk about something that came out a couple days ago, and that is iOS 11. And I have actually been looking forward to seeing what we're getting. I downloaded it yesterday, but you've had a couple days to play with it. So what are your initial thoughts?
Well, I would also say that, for some reason, and I know a lot of people, when I don't know if we're losing the S update now, since we went from iPhone 7 to iPhone 8 versus iPhone 7S. But the S updates, where people in the past complained, oh, it looks exactly the same, there's no difference, it's just a couple of minor tweaks here and there. I have an iPhone 6, and a lot of the new features will not work on a 6. They will, however, work on a 6S. Because of the improved internals, even though externally the 6 and the 6S, or the 6 Plus, externally they're the exact same thing.
Right.
The internals are upgraded enough where they they just won't let me do what other people can do. So that is something to think about when it comes to some of the new features. If you have an older phone, you kind of have to almost think about, you're missing out. You're going to be missing out on some things, unfortunately. Yeah. It still installs smoothly. Nothing bricked on me, which is always a concern with the new operating system. Also, I like the fact that with the new file format, the amount of size has gone down tremendously that all the photos took up.
Okay.
So I went from my phone using 100 gigabytes of storage down to using only 60 gigabytes of storage. So my photo, the amount of photos were taken, just like Apple said, got cut in half.
Yeah.
So that is and I can post to, I guess when we post it behind the scenes, converts it automatically to JPEGs. So nothing we have to do in the background. So that to me is a big difference there is in terms of how much storage it takes up, because if you have iCloud, they really haven't reduced the price on the lower levels if you have to go beyond 5 gigabyte now for backup.
So, okay. So one of the things that was changing is that we were getting a new file format. And you're mm-hmm. saying that it is converting to a JPEG?
Well, I think when you, like if you post it to Facebook or Instagram, because not everyone can read. Like I know I heard that if you have Windows 10 and if you just try to sync up your photos to a Windows 10 machine, it won't view it correctly unless the software converts it over to a JPEG ahead of time behind the scenes.
Oh.
So that's something that Microsoft needs to fix behind the scenes. Now I know on my Mac, when I look at it, because I haven't updated to the newest High Sierra yet, they're still JPEGs on there if I view them on there, but if I view them on the phone, they're the new format.
Yeah.
But luckily, all that seems to happen seamless. And I hate to say not to trust that, not that I don't trust Apple, but if someone says, we're going to take care of all this behind the scenes seamlessly, you don't have to worry about it, I'm going to worry about it a little bit.
Right. Well,
it's not that I don't trust them, but anytime someone says, no, don't you worry your pretty little head, everything will be in good shape, things break.
Right. Well, that may explain a little bit of why I'm not seeing any of my images from Pure.
Mm. Okay.
Because I downloaded the I got the iOS 11 last night.
Mm-hmm.
And just today I was trying to use PureShot and none of the images were downloading to my image app on my iPhone. So I was like trying to troubleshoot it, trying to see if there was anything else. I tried to change the formats and it's not even taking pictures in those formats. So I'm thinking that Jagger will probably have to come out with a few updates to correct it. So now I'm thinking maybe it's the new format, but that doesn't make sense. If they were able to use JPEGs before, they still should be able to use JPEGs now, unless they're not wanting JPEGs to be produced. So I don't know. We're gonna have to look into that.
Yeah, it's one of those things that unfortunately I think everyone's going to. And they should, and most places should have had access to the beta to, you know, run through everything and make sure if anything's broke, they can correct it beforehand.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things you're going to have. And that's honestly a lot of times that, you know, in the past, you know, they've come out after a week or two, you came out with a 0.1 update that kind of fixed a lot of the bugs that even though Apple tends, and especially since they now have more open betas, a lot better ways to catch it. Now you have, instead of a few thousand people or a few tens of thousands, now you have millions of people using it and with different configurations and everything else that goes on. Things can happen and, you know, that were not expected or haven't been tested for.
Right. All right. I'm going to try a real time test, and I'm going to do Camera Plus.
Okay.
And see if we get the same results.
And also, a mention while you're doing that is that if you don't have automated automatic updates put on for your apps, double check and see if you, after you update to iOS 11, if there's any updates for apps that will, kind of like Google, the Google Photos app was updated today for support for backing up the the new format for both photos and video. Snapseed had a major update, and I don't know if it was iOS 11 related or if they just took that to make updates, but anytime Apple comes out with a new operating system, everyone should be starting to roll out with a bunch of updates now, and especially in the next week or so.
Yeah. All right, so initially, it looks like Camera Plus works. You know, Camera Plus, they like to put all their images in the light box, and then you have to go into the light box and hit save, and that'll put it into your photos. And it looks like I may be using Camera Plus in the meantime for my images through the binoculars. So,
Okay, and I'm doing, because I have Camera Plus set up to go right to the Photos app instead of going to their light box.
I should probably set that up too.
Ah.
So I'll go in
and
do that.
I did have to, because, and this is something that's happening with a lot of the photo apps, even though I've had them for a while.
You have to
time you use them with iOPLA, you have to say, yes, I approve. Yes, you can write to the.
Microphones and photos have to be approved for every app after a new update, I guess.
Yeah. Which isn't the worst thing in the world. I rather have being asked for things and having just minor annoyance once and automatically things happen in the background that I don't know that's happening.
Yeah. Warren in the chat says that the new iOS is working adequately on his 5S. So.
Wow.
Yeah. I probably can do the 5C on my work phone, but I probably won't. If it's even allowed. But I have to say the new iOS is fast.
Yeah.
Typically, I've been able to like tap the home button and have the time pop up. And but when I do the same thing, it's like the fingerprint reader is so fast that it just goes right through to the homepage. And it's like, oh, okay, well, maybe I have to mash another finger on it. Warren, we won't laugh at you. We don't, you know, whatever you're using, by all means. Yeah, he's teasing, but if you're still using a 5 or a 5S or something like that, oh, please. You know, even my 4S is still an awesome device to capture images. For video or for just straight shots, it's just, it's still awesome. That's why I still have my 4S. But I should pull out the 3GS at some point and just go through and take some photos with it just for comparisons. But... All right. So what else about – oh, go ahead.
Well, I say, yeah. I mean, now this is why I was able to test out, because Ruth has a newer phone than I do. She has the 7 Plus. So I was able to do some of the live photo testing on there. Because unfortunately, even though she can send me a live photo and I can look at the live photo and press down on it and get the mini video effect, I can't –
create them.
Edit. Yeah. Well, not only I can't even edit them.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I updated my phone first.
Yeah.
Before updating her phone, because I'm not stupid. If I was going to brick a phone, I'm going to brick my phone and not hers.
Yes. Yeah. That. Okay. So two quick points. So one, you know, always let somebody else go before you with the uploads. Yeah. That's always a, you know, and then if they say everything's fine, then you jump overboard also. Yeah. But, you know, don't always try to be the first one to say, oh, I got the new operating system. You know, make sure you back up your phone, you know, probably two or three times before you do it, and make sure that the images are safely stored somewhere else. But, and then the other thing is, If you don't know what we're talking about, the when you go to take a photo, if you open up your native camera app, at the very top, you'll see a circle. It looks like a circle within a circle with some dotted line, with some dots in a circle around it. That is your live photo option. If it's turned off, it'll be white with a slash through it. But when you tap on it, it'll turn golden yellow. And what that does is it allows you to take a photo, but it gets like a second before, during, and a second after. So it's like a 3-second video. Once you're able to capture your image, if you go into the camera roll, you can hold down the image and see the 3-second video. If you hold it down and then press up, then you have the effects. And you have live effect, which is the default. Next to it is loop, which means it's basically creating a continuous video, but it's almost like a GIF file. And then you have bounce, which it goes forward and then backwards and then forwards and then backwards. It's sort of those things you've seen on Instagram lately. And then the last one is probably going to be our favorite, is the long exposure. So what it does is it takes the image, the 3 seconds that you have, and whatever is in motion, it will create a long exposure effect. I did a long exposure of the ceiling fan, and I thought it did a great job. Not only did it do a great job with the loop and the bounce, but with the long exposure, it was perfect. I did a long exposure when I was at work, and I got a picture of the street with my coworker walking by and some cars going by. And at first, when I took it, I didn't see anything. And then I noticed that there was a slight blur, not a blur, almost like a phantom effect of my coworker's safety vest. I'm like, oh, that's him going across the frame. And then I could look even closer and I saw the car, the color of the car kind of lightly blurred across the frame. So it's, I would love to know how they came up with it, but I think I'm impressed with what they did with the long exposure. And I'm going to take, like I said, this Saturday, I'm going to be taking a lot of photos. I'm going to be trying a whole lot of different things because the long exposure, the shooting through the binoculars, I'm going to be pretty busy, but I want to try all sorts of different things out with it.
Yeah, I mean, and that's something we're also going to do this weekend too. Just because, like I said, I wanted to wait a day before updating anything. That, like I said, it's one thing if you want to experiment on yourself, go ahead and do it. If I busted my own phone or if it bricked for whatever reason, that's on me. But if I did something to Ruth's phone, not only would just be careful. Like I said, don't mess other people's devices up.
Yeah.
So, and her phones and her things are the things that have the live shot availability. So, yeah, I got to do a couple quick tests. One where one of our dogs is kind of running across the floor. Mm-hmm. So, and I did the bounce effect with that one. So you see him kind of running one way and then bouncing back the other way.
Yeah.
What is the app? Boomerang. I think Instagram has the app that does that.
Yeah.
So it but a nice thing is that, and with the new, this is something else they're doing, is with the portrait mode. If you have a Plus phone that does portrait mode, before you, it saved one image that was normal and one image that was portrait. With the new file format, it's now under one image.
Okay.
So you can simply just remove the portrait look if you didn't particularly like how the portrait came out as.
And made it
the background to, blur, and just make it a normal photo. So it's just a toggle button on top now.
Oh, okay.
And you go to edit instead of a separate image. So that's one thing that's nice. Instead of having two images save, one that's regular and one that's not, it's just all in one now.
Yeah. I don't have that option because I have the single camera.
You have the single, yeah. And I think that's something when the 7 Plus came out with the two cameras, that I think Apple was kind of taken back how many people went with the – I don't think they were expecting as many people to go with the large camera for the two depth effect. They actually did.
Okay.
I think it's a little bit higher of a breakdown than they were expecting it to be.
Are you saying that they were – it was not something – they thought it was just a fun thing to do. They didn't think people would take it seriously?
I thought they were going to do that, but I think their thought was, well, a vast majority are going to go with the smaller phone because it's smaller.
Right.
And, you know, the only, I don't want to say, I think they were trying to look at the 6 and the 6S and see, well, we can see what the breakdown between the two sizes are. And when they hit the 7, they think they were expecting the same breakdown.
Okay.
But when it came to having, by the way, not only is this a larger phone, so it's easier to look at the screen, you have more room to do editing on, but now we have this depth effect, the portrait mode, that you don't have. I think a lot more people, after looking at it, was like, oh, I could really use this for my kids or family get-togethers or things going on. We still get where, you know, we'll take a picture in portrait mode and people are just amazed about how it just turns out without putting in a lot of extra effort in terms of the editing itself.
Well, they're used to how many years of having flat photos.
Right.
Most people take photographers for granted, those that, you know, use the craft of manipulating their scene with the aperture wide open or having a telephoto lens to zoom right in. They don't understand how much goes into creating an image. But, you know, when you stand there and just take a shot and everything in the photo is in focus, when it's all out of focus, that's when it really hits them. But they still don't understand, you know, how or why. They just know it looks good.
And that's the one thing I'm kind of – because it looks like one thing Apple did with the 8 and the 10, the little bit I've seen of that was it looks like then they improved the portrait mode a little bit more, and they're still working on it kind of behind the scenes with updates.
I knew it was going to be –
so that's always looking for that.
I knew it was going to be a work in progress. There was no way they were going to have it perfect when they rolled it out. I mean, we have to fight it with our special apps to go in and create those effects. You know, you have to painstakingly go through. And the biggest problem is hair. Hair has always been the greatest thing to have to overcome, because let's say you get little tiny strands that are by themselves. Well, if you take the time to go all the way around them, it doesn't always look good. But if you masked over them to get rid of them, it doesn't look that great. So sometimes you have to get a little creative and possibly do a half gradient of masking in order to get those strays to kind of work.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, so Joe in the chat was talking about Mixler or something like that. He just posted something about GeoCities. I'm like, what? Is GeoCities still a thing?
Oh, my.
Oh. All right, so what else do you have?
Well, something that, let me see who mentioned this because I want to give them credit. I want to say it was possibly Warren. Let me just see here. Yeah, about the screen recording feature.
Yes.
Not 100% per se photography related, but it's a very nice feature, especially if, I don't know, if a particular person who is big into editing wanted to make a little video showing how they edited their photos.
Yeah.
You know, that would be a great thing.
How do you go about doing that? How do you do that?
Sure. Basically, from any screen, you flick up from the bottom to bring up the new control center, which now has everything at once. And actually, I should say before this, I think you have to go into the settings under control center and make sure screen recording is added on. I don't think it's a default feature.
Okay.
Because that is the other thing is that the control panel now is 100, I shouldn't say 100% customizable. It's a much more customizable where you different apps can now add their own part to the control panel when you the control center when you bring it up.
Yeah.
For screen recording, it looks like a before you start recording, it's a white dot instead of a white inside of a white circle.
Okay.
You have two options. If you just click on it to start recording, you can record your movement but without sound.
Yep.
But if you hold down and do either a 3D or long one, it brings up where you can turn the microphone on or off. Okay. And you can start recording that way.
Oh, wow.
And so that just so you can actually do a – and it just uses your normal microphone as part of the phone.
Yeah.
And I did – I tried to doing a quick test of going through, let's say, Snapseed and trying to run through a quick edit just to see what the differences are. And it did pick up very well the dogs barking in the background.
Okay.
So if you're trying to do something that is a nice, you know, it's something a nice recording of the screen, make sure because the iPhone microphone, even though I was holding it, normal looking at it, not up to my face, but a normal distance away from working on an app, it actually picked up my voice perfectly fine. But it also picked up ambient noise, too.
Yeah.
And so once you click on that to start, it gives you a nice little countdown. You can then get rid of the control center. It doesn't do that automatically. And use the phone as normal. And it just records – if you have the mic on, it records all the audio. It records the audio from the mic.
Okay.
And I haven't tested it to see if it records – I think it does record off because any sounds that would come off the phone would also get picked up by the mic.
Sure.
So it records that and it records the video just like in the past where if you wanted to record your screen, you either had to hold a second camera up to it and have someone videotape it or you have a Mac and use the QuickTime screen recording feature.
Right.
Where you could do a hard wire up to the computer. And once you're done, you flick up the control center. You do whatever you want to do. Flick up the control center. Hit the end recording. Give it a second or two. At least I have to give it a second or two. And then it just saves it as a video. And at that point, you can just go into video. Get rid of the kind of the beginning and the end if you wanted to. Use whatever normal video recording apps you have and upload it to normal.
Huh. Now, does it always record in portrait mode?
Hmm. You know what? Just like you did a little bit of a quick – I only tried it in portrait mode, but let's see here. And apparently you have to have your screen unlocked because I just tried to start it from a locked phone, and it said you need to record it. So – Okay, and okay, yeah, and also when you start recording, it does, just like if you're in an app that uses the GPS feature, you get a bar going across the top of the screen.
Yeah, it's a red
bar. Or if you're, it's a red bar, yeah. So it definitely lets you know that you are recording, which is, honestly, I think that's a really good thing.
Yes.
Let me see here. So if I start off recording this way and I turn my phone around and record this way and then put the phone back. Here we go. And open that and close that. And you can also go to the, you can click the very top and stop the recording that way.
Yeah.
So that's a very, again, it's a really nice feature, and you hate to say it's something they should have had for a while, but it's something they should have had for a while.
Yeah. No, and you know what? I think there was probably issues with, say, the processing speeds.
Okay. Yeah, and also when you start recording
it. Oh, you did the volume. Yeah, you got the microphone to work. Mm-hmm. I am definitely thrilled about that feature. Because I'm going to start doing some more videos, and see, with running a PC, I've always been kind of handicapped, you know, Mark, I think Keith had done some videos, using his Mac, you know, it was one of those things that mm-hmm. you were able to do. And I don't know if Matt had done any, but I know for me it was a challenge because I would have to find a program that was willing to work with Apple on a PC. And
which is not the easiest thing in the world to find.
No. And to be honest, I wasn't doing it a whole lot that I was willing to pay a whole lot of money for. So having it built into the phone is perfect. And, you know, better late than never, or, you know, is this because of the processing speeds that they're able to do that they can do this now? I don't know. But I have to say I'm thrilled about it and I'm looking forward to it. The only thing that, you know, I have reservations about is that you can only screen capture in portrait mode, which it looks like.
Well, I found out actually that I started in portrait, flipped it over, flipped the phone over, and flipped it back. So the screen flipped over, the video itself didn't, just like if you're doing a regular video, you start in portrait mode and you go, oh, I should be doing this horizontally. I shouldn't be doing vertical video because vertical video is inherently evil.
That's right.
And if you flip it halfway through, it doesn't flip the rotation. It just kind of flips the image.
Okay.
So, but let me try. Now, I don't know if the plus is a little bit different from the non-plus phones, but just do a quick 10-second here. Just kind of move things around. Hit the button on top. Come on.
The other thing, too, is I'm wondering if, you know, Apple has given people the option of being able to plug in a USB adapters to have a off-phone microphone.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if that would work with the screen capture. And, you know, just from the quality of, you know, producing a video, you know, I would love to be able to use my microphone and plug it into my phone to have a good quality video. So that's the other thing that I'm going to look into. And, you know, this is, if you had thought to yourselves, hey, you know, I'd love to do a podcast, or I'd love to do some sort of a video blog or something like that, I think this is probably perfect. And being able to do. And so, you know, just having these options at your disposal, you know, for everybody to use, I think is great.
Yeah, and I did test it. If you start off in landscape mode, it will record in landscape mode.
Oh, okay.
So it handles it pretty much just like a video. Hmm. Just like in a regular video, if you take off and if you start in landscape mode, you'll start in landscape mode. So that works nice then.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, so let's see. What else do we have that came out with the new iOS? I don't know. It's funny. Every time I look at it, it becomes more normal because the initial shock of the new iOS can sometimes be blunt. But as time goes by, you forget what it used to look like and you start getting used to
The new and just like, oh, it's always been this way, hasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Until you go to another phone that hasn't been updated and you're like, whoa, wait a minute.
Well, I think that also the bigger change this time are on iPads versus iPhones. Because iPads have not necessarily photography related changes, but a lot of other changes that make it work a lot different, where it no longer feels just like a big iPhone.
Right.
With the new dock, the new multitasking features that work a lot differently, that I really wish they would now allow people who have the plus or maybe the 10 because of the larger screen size to do a little multitasking. At least if you hold the phone horizontally, the ability to maybe have a Twitter feed and a web page open or, you know, at the same time would be nice, or have a video run in the corner while you're having a web page open. That would be very nice.
Yeah.
I understand why when we all had 3.5-inch screens, you couldn't do anything like that. But if you have a screen over 5 inches, that's especially the iPhone 10 with a 5.8-inch screen and the iPad mini is 7.9. We're getting closer and closer to screen size parity here.
Right. Warren in the chat had posted something about iOS 11 that is interesting. He said that turning off the Wi-Fi and the Bluetooth in the control center doesn't actually turn off the Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. So,
yeah, it actually just only disconnects it from whatever you have. It no longer turns it off.
Interesting. Now, I actually think that I would like that because I have many devices sometimes that I will connect to my iPhone. It could be my Bluetooth headphones or possibly something else. Maybe that's a feature or something. But I guess you'd have to go into the actual settings to turn it off.
To actually turn it off, yeah. Which I know some people use either airplane mode or turning off the Bluetooth. If they're trying to do a quick charge.
Sure.
So that is something to think about if you're one of the people who's like, I'm down to 5%, so I'll put it on airplane mode, or I'm not using Bluetooth, so I'll turn Bluetooth off, and it'll charge a lot quicker that way. Yeah. To really turn it off and turn that radio off so it's no longer broadcasting, not just disconnect it. You have to go to the actual settings and not the control panel that way.
I used to do that with my 4S, with my 7, and I don't think I did with my 6, but with my 7, it wasn't really a big deal. The charging was pretty fast to the point that I didn't have to turn everything off just to utilize the speed. So I'm curious to see if they're even faster with the 8 and the 10.
I know that they said that there is, and unfortunately this is an additional purchase, that if you use the USB-C charger and not the one you get with the phone, It will allow for a quick charge of 30 minutes to do 50% of the battery.
Yeah.
So, but unfortunately, it's not, it's unfortunate. You can't just say Apple's giving us this charger. We can use the charger Apple gave us as an additional charge.
Huh.
And with the wireless charging, I think that is significantly slower than the wired.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Because you're trying to do an electromagnetic induction.
Right. And I'm sure Apple does not want to repeat what happened to Samsung last year, trying to push battery a little bit too much.
Right. And have things blow up.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't want to have flame gate or whatever they want to call the next thing is.
Do you think they'll have a – what was the last one for the 7? Was there any – because I don't think – I think it was probably the first rollout that they had that there wasn't like bend gate or antenna gate or anything – any of that nonsense. You know, it's like, oh, what can we find? We got to find something. We have to have a conspiracy or a problem with the new rollout.
I want to say there was – there was something minor, just because there's always something minor because it's good headlines.
Yeah.
Because blogs need clickbait.
Yeah.
And anytime you put Apple in front of something, it makes a big deal. But it, I think their thing was some things being put out in beta for the first time for and being delayed.
Sure.
Which, you know, the part of the fact that – and I actually kind of forgot about this myself. Portrait mode did not come out with the 7 Plus, but it came out in 10.1.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And they came out, of course, I hate this. Everything, I almost consider almost all software these days almost beta.
Sure.
And I kind of say, I don't want to say blame Google, but the fact that Gmail was in beta for 10 years. I think.
Yeah.
You know, it took them a long time to get rid of that little beta thing that everyone else felt. Well, yeah, of course, even though this is a release software, it's still being worked on. So we don't have to make it as perfect as possible. So we'll give that little wiggle room for things to improve.
Well, we're not buying.
I like things improving, but.
Yeah, we're not buying software that comes in like a physical form. You know, right. Everything is an application that you download online. And so I could agree with saying that everything is pretty much in beta mode because after a while you get an update. Oh, we're fixing some bugs. Yeah. All right. When are they not fixing bugs? When they go out of business and all of a sudden it's no longer in beta. but yeah, we're no longer storing, you know, discs and CDs and all that, you know, with all the software on it for future uses. You know, that stuff has gone long since become obsolete when it comes to these types of devices. Not that they had to before, but, you know, it's just we're no longer buying a box with directions and discs in it. And I'm kind of glad.
No, agreed. Especially when if you have to, and this is, like I said, I've had it where I tried using, trying to use some of the augmented reality apps, which if you have an older device, that's where it starts to really feel like you have an older device.
Yeah.
I tried using the IKEA Place app, which you basically scan your floor, use the IKEA catalog, and plop a piece of furniture right in your living room or office or kitchen. And you can just use your phone to get a feel for will it fit in here and how it will look in here with everything else I have. But you can actually just walk around the piece of furniture or walk around the table. And it does, after using again Ruth's phone, which is newer, using that it works amazingly well. I've had it where I dropped the table down the room and I had a cat walk behind the table, and it actually recognized that the cat would be behind the table, so the cat was half hidden by the table versus, you know, the cat doing like a bad 3D rendering where objects that are walking across, it doesn't realize how it's interacting with the rest of the room.
Interesting.
But when I tried to download it on my 6 Plus, it just kept on getting frazzled. It wouldn't work. It wouldn't start up at all.
Yeah.
And that's true with a couple of the other apps I tried. It's like, oh, your phone isn't powerful enough, so either we won't allow you to download this app, even though you have iOS 11, or it works so buggy, it's not worth trying. But sure. On a newer device, it works perfectly fine.
Right.
And one nice thing, like we were mentioning about how we no longer have to, having all these disks to reinstall, you know, just long pressing, deleting, and reinstalling taking seconds versus I can remember using WordPerfect 6.1 for DOS.
Yeah.
And having 13 3.5-inch diskettes.
Yes.
To download and install everything.
The floppies.
Exactly. Of course, giving away my age here, but
I might have some actually sitting on the desk over there. Still have some 3-inch floppies. But, you know, it's funny, when the 3-inches came out, they still called them floppies, but they were hard. They didn't they didn't bend like the 5 inches.
Oh.
All right. So, is there anything else that you wanted to talk about with iOS?
I would say, in general, of course, if anyone has not downloaded yet, something we said before, and I think we can't say enough, is before you update, backup as much as possible, especially, let's say, your photos, because your apps can all be just re-downloaded from the App Store.
Yeah.
But if you have documents or if you have photos, back them up in multiple locations.
If you have documents, you can live like a rebel and go down in flames.
Yeah, go for it. I'm chicken poop for keeping it as extra PG as possible. So that's why I do the Google Photos and the iCloud backup. And I think Dropbox has changed a little bit, but if you have documents that you use on either your phone or your iPad, back them up somewhere else too, just in case something dies on you halfway through the process.
Yeah.
I have not seen anyone having large issues with iOS 11 though. I've heard people, some minor complaints with battery life, but I had that during the first 24 hours, but that's partially I was testing out as much as I could.
Yeah.
You know, just playing with the new toy. And B, it does go forward and tend to index everything on your phone so it runs faster. So if you do have battery issues when you first install it, give it a day to really get a feeling for it. And then after that day, if you continually have issues, then I would say go a little bit deeper or contact Apple. But give it a day, and a lot of times it just tends to kind of work its way out.
Sure. Well, good. All right. If we will have more updates as the weeks go by, and, you know, if there's anything that pops up that we see that, you know, y'all need to, you know, be aware of, we'll post it on the Facebook group. But let us know what you guys think. And, you know, if there's something that we didn't talk about that you thought was pretty cool, just you can shoot us an email, tinyshutter@gmail.com, or you could go onto Facebook and leave us a message there. All right. I think it's time to move into our post pick of the week.
Post pick of the week.
All right. So our weekly photo challenge that we actually did for 3 weeks, because last week was kind of special. It was action/motion, and And we got a few submissions. I think this one was probably one of our lowest submitted weekly photo challenges, but we did get some beautiful images in there. And let's see here. I'm pulling it up right now because I had to do something different. But it's my turn to pick, and I am choosing the Tower. This is United 211 Heavy. This was done by Randy Cochran, and it is a bumblebee. It looks like he's on a mission to collect some pollen and nectar from a plant. And let's see here. I like the colors. It looks like, it almost looks like a surreal a sky or something like that. I don't know what's actually behind them, but it's contrasted heavily by the pinkish colors of the plant that the bee is heading towards. And I have to say, I really like it. The composition looks good. Yeah. The plant is, you know, sort of fighting with the bumblebee for my attention. And so it's creating a lot of tension there. You know, you can actually see some of the bumblebee's wings. So it was able to kind of capture it in motion. So yeah. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, agreed. This is the color really pops. And like I said, in terms of the sky being kind of a muted yellow color looking versus the pop of the pink purple of the plant really looks great. And I'm always, it's amazing a lot of times just looking through the photos that people post on the Facebook group, even ones that aren't, I shouldn't say even ones, but ones that either are or aren't part of the post pick of the week challenge, some of the details you can pull up with a smartphone.
Yeah.
And like you said, being able not only to see the bee's wings, but to see the stripe on the bee's body.
Yeah.
Between the light and the dark there. It's just, and I love the caption too.
Yeah. I like the heavy at the end. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Randy, congratulations. You are our post pick of the week. If you want to be featured as post pick of the week, go on to our Facebook group and look for our weekly photo challenge. It is always pinned to the top of the group where you can find it. And look for it. Take a look around, see what other people are posting, and submit yours. You know, we kind of encourage people to, you know, not go back to their archives of thousands of images and find something. But if they can, you know, go out in the next 2 weeks and try to capture something you think will work with the challenge. Because, you know, we want to see stuff. And if, you know, it's one of those things, the challenge is probably just as important as the capture, and you know, because it helps you to grow. So we want to encourage people to do that. All right. Well, let's go ahead and announce our next weekly photo challenge, and it's Twisted. Is that right? You said Twisted.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Twisted.
Give
it one to do something.
Yeah.
No, sure. Do something that's a little bit different and leave it wide open for interpretation. So without giving too much direction per se, but if you want to go for a railing that's twisted or something that's physically twisted or a image that just makes you look and shake your head because it could be a little twisted.
Yeah.
Go for it and be as imaginative as possible.
Yeah. Try not to get too graphic when it comes to Twisted.
Right. Well, yeah, you're correct. Yes. Yes. This is a family. We are a family friendly group and podcast. We do not have the little explicit tag, and nor do we want the explicit tag.
No. Oh, that's awesome. All right.
I'll also say this. If you, let's say, while you're taking the picture and do some editing, if you do something that's maybe a little out of the ordinary, or you're using an app you're not used to, or maybe a brand new app, put that in the comments. Because part of it is, I don't want to say showing off, but part of it's showing the photo you took. But a lot of times it's interesting to see, wow, that's an amazing shot. Did they use an app for part of it? How did they do the editing? Because the editing, a lot of times, is half the work right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because a lot of times the phones still don't pick up exactly what our eyes see.
Right.
Getting closer, but not quite there. So a lot of times that last little bit of editing to say, either when I looked at the image, or when I looked at, let's say, a sky or a particular thing going on, you're like, I know what I saw, or I know what I wanted to see to get the emotional impact.
Yeah.
And doing that last little bit of editing, knowing, well, here's how I edit it. That's a big help.
Yeah. And I was just thinking to myself, it'd be fun if people were able to do their screen capture videos of how they were able to create their images. That would be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, because they're just straight video. So there should be, I mean, if you do that, you know, I would say try to keep your video to a reasonable time.
Yeah.
We really don't want, not that we don't want, but to have a 50-minute video of a step-by-step on how you did something, a bit of an overkill.
Yes. That's almost like a podcast. Oh, wait. Yeah.
Oops.
That would be fun. And it'd be really cool to, you know, hear our listeners and, you know, see what they do, especially if the images, you know, is something we're always like, man, how did they do that? That would be so cool. I think I'm probably going to have to play with a few of those. But most of the time, I think my edits are boring.
I think they look good. I know what you're saying.
The process is boring.
Let's call it straightforward. Let's call it straightforward.
Yes. Oh, very cool. Was there anything else that you wanted to bring up?
Well, the one thing is that I did want, because this is something I have forgotten to do, would be to thank, since we're getting near the end of the show, thank our two producers.
Yes.
Who are listed as producers through their Patreon help. Both Matt DeVore and Greg McMillan, who are patrons. Yes. At patreon.com/, I want to say, Tiny Shutter.
Yep.
But let me, should have double checked that before I did that. And this is, honestly, we love doing this. But there are some costs involved. That any little help that helps us out, you know, is greatly appreciated.
Yeah. Yeah. Mark has done the lion's share of, you know, keeping this show afloat. And, you know, he is more than willing to do it. But, you know, if there's any way we can help Mark out, that would be awesome. You know, Dave and I, we just, you know, we take our time and we talk and, you know, help in that way. But, you know, the costs of a website and some other things, you know, his machines will break or whatever, you know, we're wanting to make sure that, you know, he's taken care of.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right.
Go ahead. Good.
Yeah. All right. So very good. We are at the end of the show, and I think I need to play this. If I could find it. Oh, there it is.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Barely. Oh, here. I'll let him say it.
Barely.
Okay. Dave, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
Sure. You can find my photography on Instagram or IM as Prof Pod or posting to the Facebook group.
Very cool. You can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira, and you'll also have us hanging out in our Facebook group, which you can find links to along with YouTube and the show notes by going to tinyshutter.com. And Dave looked it up earlier, but I think we're just three shy of 1,200 people in our Facebook group. And we're starting to climb. It's getting faster. And so we want to thank you guys for joining us there and participating and telling others about it. It's really neat to see what's happening.
Most definitely. Like I said, when you just kind of scroll through some of the photos are just amazing, and just getting inspiration on looking at and thinking, oh, that's a different way. I didn't think about shooting that way before.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right. Well, I think we have ourselves a show. Dave, why don't you lead us out of here?
Sure. Again, thanks so much for everyone for interacting with us, everyone in chat for being here, and have a glorious week.
And we'll see you guys next time.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
Kowalski, what's our trajectory?
95% certain this will end in massive, flaming disaster.
And the other 5%?
Irrelevant, sir.
Remember, it's better to tell the truth.
And that's no lie. Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe.
Barely.